a petition. I don't know whether you will have seen this because we sent you the notes, but a petition circulating online is calling for the National Party to form a government with the Green Party and leave New Zealand First out of the equation. I wonder if this is one of the nine options that Winston Peters referred to the other night on the telly. The petition's been started by a Christchurch chap called Clive Anthony, and he's declined an opportunity to talk to us on the programme this afternoon. But the idea of a green-blue deal, a teal, I guess you could call it, has garnered favour among National supporters. And the numbers signing Clive's petition has been steadily growing over the last couple of days. The Greens, of course, would not buy into such an arranged marriage, but Dr. Eric Crampton, who's a commentator and chief economist at the New Zealand Initiative, which is a think tank and a business membership organisation in Wellington, he reckons the union could actually work. And we'll speak to Eric in just a moment. But firstly, to our panellists, Joe, what do you think about the idea of a teal combination?
Well, I mean, the teal deal, as I believe we should call it, Ali. I mean, the Greens do, we're talking about Winston as the kingmaker, but the Greens do also hold a potential balance of power. And I think National would, it seems certainly from what Bill English has said, be open to a deal if the Greens approach them on environmental issues. And I mean, I would say National's credibility in the environmental space was fairly low due to how much water and water management was discussed during the last election campaign. But, I mean, James Shaw, he has to take a long view. And, I mean, if you look at what happened to the Māori Party, which went into a coalition which perhaps its core constituency, it did not sit well with that core constituency, and they no longer have any presence in Parliament. So, I mean, you would have those the potential for those short-term policy gains, but what does it mean long term for your audience,
party.
Your party?
Yeah, and we'll ask Dr. Eric Crampton about that. Mark, what about the long term here? I think Jo's actually right. She makes some good points about the short term gains, but is this just going to swallow the Greens up, really?
I think the Greens have got to maybe be less ideological and more pragmatic. I think a teal deal, as Joe so eloquently coined the phrase, is actually what we need. And looking around the world, there are plenty of examples of blue-green all over the space. And in fact, there is a blue-green faction of the National Party now, which is probably very light green compared to the Green Party itself. But in terms of the Green survival and getting the message across, I think there really is a lot of merit behind that. And I think it probably would appeal to a lot of people across the political spectrum, so the left and the right, and would probably quite a good marriage, a marriage of convenience perhaps, but also a marriage that would keep Mr. Peters out of government. And I think I was looking at Winston actually and what we're going through now, and I had many years ago I was in the recruitment industry, and we used to ask our candidates like competency based questions, which would go something like, tell me about a time you were blah blah blah, and it could be for him, so tell me about a time you were part of a coalition government, how did that go? And really looking at the history, it isn't a really good read. So if you were a recruiter looking to place a new candidate into a role for a coalition government, you probably would run 100 miles away from him. So, I'm down with the green and blue thing.
I also think if there is no coalition between the National Party and the Green Party, there is, in fact, an opportunity for another political movement to form around that purely environmental issue. I mean, James Shaw has made it clear that their economic policies and their social policies are also bottom lines for that party. But I would say that there's a votership who are very interested in the Greens, and they're interested in the environmental side, but they are more challenged by some of the economic and social policies.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
well, let's put some of these questions to Dr. Crampton. Just before we do, I want to have a look at or read a text actually that we've had, and I'll get his response on this. This from Frank McCaskey. He says, there is not, in capital letters, a growing clamour for a National Green Coalition. This is mischief-making from some right-wing commentators who never voted Green in the first place. Ain't happening. Thanks, Frank. So, Dr. Crampton's on the line there. Hi, Eric.
Good afternoon.
So, I mean, is Frank McCaskey right, actually? This is just mischief-making from right-wing commentators, and there is no growing clamour for this National Green Coalition.
Well, I sure can't speak to the motivations of anybody else who thinks this might be an attractive proposition or a saying. So I think there are potentially really interesting policy intersections between what might be acceptable to both National and the Greens on environmental issues. Whether it's feasible because of internal politics within the Green Party is another question entirely.
And what do you think about that, though? Do you think that...
I think that there would be big problems within the Green Party, but I think that makes a case not for... I'll restate that. The Green Party has an interesting mix of some hardcore left-wing voters on social and economic issues, as well as some environmental activists who have strong environmental preferences, some of whom would be of the left and others perhaps less so. Twitter tells me, or at least the Twitter left assures me, that were National to make an offer to the Greens and James Shaw were to bring that to the membership for choice, he would be viewed as a traitor by the left side of the Green Party, and it would cause some schism within the Greens. So that might be potentially an issue. I'm not sure that that's a reason for National not to provide that kind of policy recommendation, though. Either it's true, and then the Greens would always be on the opposition side, and that'd be in National's interest, or best case, the Greens would come on side on a strong environmental bundle. I think that it's in National's interest to put that up, not just because you could get a reasonable policy coalition out of it in the best case, but it also perhaps changes some of the bargaining power across the different negotiations.
How do you, Eric, though, rationalise the issue that the Greens' biggest environmental policy concern has been water quality, and the Nats have a huge rural and farming support base? How on earth can you bring those two issues together and cosy up?
By doing it in a different way. So Labor and the Greens were both approaching the issue looking at taxes on water extraction or taxes on effluent. If you look around the world and how countries are addressing environmental problems, some of the most successful regimes have been built around trading. So if you look at sulfur dioxide in the United States, they solved acid rain by putting in a cap and trade mechanism where emitters were given permits for emissions, and then you had a bit of a sinking lid where the total amount of sulfur dioxide that came out was reduced over time, and emitters could trade those permits. If you do it that way instead of through tax, so if you apply that to water management in New Zealand, start by respecting individual farmers' resource consents for drawing water as a property right and existing permits under resource consents to run cows for nitrate emissions as property rights, and put both of those into trading regimes so that you start from the allocations people have, let them trade so that water goes where it's most valued, whether that's a water bottling plant or a farm or an urban use, and let the catchment level caps make sure that the rivers and the lakes stay clean, so you make sure that there isn't more emitted than the lakes can deal with. If you approach it that way, then instead of it being an attack on farmers through a tax that they wouldn't welcome, they instead get the opportunity to sell some of their existing drawing rights for water or the opportunity to sell some of their existing consents on nitrate emissions. That fundamentally changes the political dynamic.
Mm. Okay, and just quickly before we go, how much of this is really just about shutting Winston Peters and New Zealand First out?
Well, that's hard to say. I think that there would be a very interesting potential policy intersection between the Greens and National. I think that there would be some Green supporters who would be very uncomfortable in coalition with Winston, just as there would be many who would be very uncomfortable in coalition with National. Mm-hmm. On National side, expect that there would be some uncomfortable in coalition with New Zealand First. And you wonder whether, instead of having like a formal coalition agreement where the Greens would need to be on side for every vote, instead just having them abstain on confidence and supply would probably be enough. If you're looking at 57 or 58 seats for National, depending on how the specials come out, and about 54 or 55 votes for Labor and New Zealand First, simply abstaining rather on confidence and supply on issues that the Greens don't like, rather than having to vote in support, might bridge some of that gap.
The election that keeps on giving. Thanks very much, Dr. Eric Crampton, commentator and chief economist at the New Zealand Initiative. Do you expect something earlier than the dates that the commentators are suggesting we'll hear, Mark?
No. I don't think so. Winston is playing a game, as he does so skillfully. But unless James Shaw and Bill English can get together and James can find a way to appease his constituents, which is probably quite unlikely, but I think it would be a really good solution for New Zealand for stability and to marry the two together and actually try and resolve some of the issues we've got.
Joe, are you over it yet?
Oh, Oh, it sort of has an inevitability to it, you know.
Really? Is that how you feel?
Well, no, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, then Winston holds the balance of power. I feel like I've seen this film before.
It's a terrible rerun.
Yeah, very good way of putting it, actually.
It's a remake of something that I didn't love the first time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It is like the Love Boat remake.
Can you speed ahead and sort of not watch it all?